While you remain standing there, 1 Samuel chapter 26, we're going to read verses 21 through 25 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Samuel 26, verses 21 through 25. I'll read verse 21, you join me on verse 22. I'll read verse 23, and then you can join me on the last two verses out loud. But you'll see how we do it here. 1 Samuel 26, verses 21 through verse 25. I love to hear Bible's pages turning. 1 Samuel 26, verses 21 through 25. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, Behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hands today, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in thine eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. And let's finish on verse 25 together. Ready? Then Saul said to David, Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that we have it, perfect, inerrant, just as you had it in heaven. It was settled before the world was created. And God, I pray that you help us today. Teach us a truth. Lord, it's not necessarily a Mother's Day sermon. I'm not bound by the day to speak on it. But Lord, a truth that we all need. Truth that I wish could go into every church and every home of America. I believe it would help our country and we would get back to you because of it. So please use the sermon today to help us in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Here in 1 Samuel 26, Saul has been hunting David like an animal. King Saul had known for years that David had been anointed as the next king. If you remember, Saul had disobeyed God, and he had not done exactly what he was supposed to do. He did not annihilate one of the cities that he was supposed to annihilate, and he kept the best of the things for himself, and then took on him the job of the high priest and began to sacrifice. And it wasn't his job to do that. And God said, Saul, you've gotten too big in your own eyes. I'm going to strip the throne away from you, and I'll raise up a different person to sit on the throne. He said, your children will not sit on the throne. Of course, David was then next chosen as king. I won't go into all of that. But Saul, of course, David is an older teenager, probably 16, 17 years old, by 1 Samuel chapter 17. That's when he goes out and fights Goliath. He had already been anointed king by Samuel in chapter 16. And the culture of the day was that he had the right to go in and kill Saul and kill Saul's family so that he could take the throne. He said, I'll not lift mine hand against God's anointed. He said, when God wants me on the throne, Saul will die and I'll take the throne, but I'm not taking it my way. Let's do it God's way. A few years later, Saul gets filled with pride and arrogance. He tries to throw a javelin at David, and David narrowly misses. Tried it a second time. And then he begins hunting David down through the woods and through the landscape there. And may I say this, David had a right to kill Saul. But David would not exercise that. During one of these times of Saul chasing him, and I have condensed several years of history and events into 3 minutes there, Saul is again hunting David like an animal here in 1 Samuel chapter 26. He's in a place called the wilderness of Ziph. All right? You say, where is that? It's over in the Israeli area. Don't worry about it. I could tell you exactly, but it wouldn't mean anything to you anyway. But they are out in the wilderness, and David is hiding with a group of men, and the Bible says that they came and saw Saul's camp. And David got close to that camp and realized everybody was asleep. One of David's servants said, "Let's go kill him." He said, "No." He said, "I'll not lift up mine hand against God's anointed." He said, "But I tell you what I am going to do." He goes over, and God had placed a deep sleep upon all that were there. David walked up to the body of King Saul, reaches down and takes his spear. And the Bible says he took his bottle of water, we would call it a canteen, and he said, "Let everybody be." And he walked across the way, and they went down a little valley and up on a hill on the other side. And it was just about time for everybody to get up, and he said, "All right, let's make some noise and wake everybody up." So they woke up all the enemy soldiers, and David said, "King Saul, this is David." And Saul was starting to get mad, and he said, "Do you recognize that you don't have your spear or your canteen?" Imagine he kind of held them up for everybody to see. And Saul says, "Uh-oh." He said, "David, you have been wise, and I have played the fool. You could have killed me and chose not to. I've been trying to, and if I were in your place, I would have killed you. But you let me live." David said, "Send one of your servants and I'll give him your spear and your water back." One of the servants left and came over and took the spear and the canteen back, so to speak. And goes back to Saul and hands them back to him. Say, "How far was that distance?" It was shouting distance. I don't know how far it was. I imagine probably a couple hundred yards. But I do know this. David did not kill Saul when he could have. Now listen to this. To me, the most amazing statement made was made by King Saul. There he stands with his canteen and his spear, knows his life has been spared. He could have been dead. And in verse 25, he says to David, "Thou shalt both do great things and shalt also still prevail." What an amazing statement. Saul said, "David, because you are so wise, you're not going to just do great things, but you will do great things. But you will also prevail." Now, you have to understand, King Saul had at one time been a servant. He's now the king of Israel, the first king of Israel. He was in the highest position of the land. Why would he say to David that he would do great things and still prevail? Listen to this statement. Success, prosperity, and position ruins more people than poverty. Success, prosperity, and position ruins more people than poverty. It is not wrong to have success. Matter of fact, it's good. It's not wrong to have prosperity. Matter of fact, God is satisfied when his children prosper. It's not wrong to have position, but more people are ruined by that than ruined by anything. Say, why is that, preacher? Because all of these things have a way of inflating man's pride. Pride is a cancer that destroys all who have it. Let me go as far as to say this. According to Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15, pride is the sin which caused Lucifer, Satan, the devil, to be kicked out of heaven. Pride is the sin of Satan. Can I tell you something? Pride is the very sin that man committed in the Garden of Eden. If you went back to Genesis chapter 3, the serpent beguiled Eve and said, look, look at the fruit, it's good. If you eat of it, you could be like God. You could know good and evil for yourself. You wouldn't need God, you could be your own God. Wouldn't you like to be like God? She said, yeah. She wasn't supposed to be like God, she was supposed to be obedient. By the way, Adam was standing right next to her because the Bible says she took it, ate it, and gave to her husband also who was with her. Everybody doing okay? Success, prosperity, and position often cause us to look at ourselves and cause us to think that we are more than what we really are. We get to the point where we think we have arrived. The Bible says in the book of Romans, you need not turn there, but Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, for I say, through the grace of God given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Can I tell you something? You, Grace Baptist Church, you've heard me say this. We're all sinners. You got one sinner talking to a bunch of sinners about a perfect God, but I'm still a sinner. You're a sinner. You say, well, I don't think that certain sins ought to be allowed in church. Can I tell you something? We're all made out of dirt. Neil, where you at? Raise your hand there. That's my buddy right there, Brother Neil Branson. He's a black man. Guess what? His dirt might be a different color than my dirt, but we're both dirt. His dirt's not any dirtier than my dirt. Everybody doing okay? Who are we to compare dirt with dirt?
You're right.
Dirt's still dirt. Amen, Jimmy? Right now it's all mud. But dirt is dirt. Doesn't matter whether it's clay. Doesn't matter if it's topsoil. Doesn't matter if it's loamy. Doesn't matter if it's full of rock. West Virginia dirt. Doesn't matter if it's special kinds of mixtures of all those. It's got plasticity in it. Amen. I learned that word from Mike. All kinds of things. But dirt is still dirt. Who are we to compare dirt with dirt? Well, my dirt's cleaner than your dirt. Well, la-dee-da, it's still dirt. My dirt's more important than your dirt. Dirt is just dirt. I raised two boys, trust me. They cut themselves, they hurt themselves. What do you tell them, fellas? Rub dirt on that thing. Make you feel better. He's in junior church, good. Wyatt this week said, preacher, does dirt really make you feel better? I had to tell him the truth. No, we just say that, but don't rub dirt on it right now. Can I tell you something? Too many of us think more highly of ourselves than we should. And the more prosperity you get, the more position you get, and the more success you get in life, the easier it is to look at yourself saying, look what I've done. Look what I have. Look what I have attained. King Saul had gone from a servant watching his dad's donkeys to the king of Israel. Now, he has allowed his power, his prosperity, and his position to inflate his pride to where he's ready to kill somebody else so they won't take the throne away. He began to think that his position would allow him privilege to step outside the rules. Sounds like a bunch of politicians to me. Yes. Folks, crooked politicians have been around for millenniums. Crooked Hillary's been around for a long time. Longer than she should be. No. Can I tell you something? Why do we have the problem in American politics that we have today? Because they've had it for thousands of years. That's why one reason our forefathers believed in term limits. Best thing that could happen in America is we set a term limit in Congress for the Senate and the House and the Supreme Court. When somebody has a position too long, and that much power and that much money available to them, it will inflate their pride to where it becomes corrupt. Everybody doing okay? Now, listen to me very carefully. Saul knew that he had disappointed God. But to him, his position was more important than God. He wanted to leave a legacy for his family at all cost. You see, Saul did not want David to be the next king of Israel. He wanted his son Jonathan to be the next king of Israel. But God said, Saul, you blew it. Because of that, your children will not sit on the throne. Your grandchildren won't. Your great-grandchildren won't. I've pulled it away. By the way, Jonathan and David were best of friends. Jonathan was good with David being the next king. Saul wanted to keep the throne in his family. Saul wanted what God had promised, but he wouldn't do it the way God had promised. Everybody doing okay? I'm going somewhere with that. There are people that want to go to heaven, but they want to do it their way, not God's way. It doesn't work that way. Can I tell you something? Don't get mad at God if you want to do it your way. Christianity's not Burger King. You don't get it your way. He showed us the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not done our way. It's done God's way. By the way, is this the same humble Saul that was chasing donkeys for his daddy? What happened to that Saul? Is this the same Saul that was scared to death to become the first king of Israel? Is this the same Saul who did not feel worthy to be king? What happened to Saul? How did he go from being a humble servant to the vigilante, power-hungry king that he became? Saul had done great things. Saul had attained great position, but he himself did not prevail. He did great things. He had great position, but he did not prevail. Saul allowed the power, the position, the prosperity to corrupt or ruin him. David had been anointed king by Samuel and had a right to the throne, but David would not take it. He would let God raise him up in God's timing. David wanted to stay a humble servant. God would put him in place when it was time. David understood a leader is supposed to serve, not be served. Did you hear that? Jesus said, the greatest of you shall be your servant. That means to achieve greatness, you must serve. You don't achieve greatness by being served. Let me take a few minutes and let's look at this statement a little more closely. Number one, doing great things means that you keep going when others stop. You keep going when others stop. Did you know greatness is not necessarily the size of the job? Right. Mr. Jimmy, you've built buildings much larger than this. That's a man who's done great things. But he's a humble man. He's prevailed. Greatness is not the size of the job. Listen to this statement. There's a lady that came here last night and spent 2 hours cleaning this building. Scrubbing the floors, vacuuming the floors, washing the toilets, making sure everything was clean for church today. That's called greatness. She said, preachers, all I want you to do is be able to go into church tomorrow and not worry about the buildings. You just be preacher tomorrow. Gotta love that, don't you? Brother Mike, I call that greatness. I call greatness last Thursday when there was a crew of women here after all of us men moved everything out of that truck and it was filthy dirty. And there were ladies scrubbing toys, scrubbing furniture, scrubbing nursery stuff, throwing things in the dumpster, making sure that everything was clean and neat and so we could get things put away so we could have church last week. We didn't even get our occupancy permit till Wednesday. Thank God for Mr. Jimmy. I turned over the keys on Monday. We didn't have a place to go. We were going to pass it one way or the other. I was moving by faith. We had stuff piled in the middle of the auditorium here, and the inspector came for the fire. By the way, fire marshal had to come and inspect. We had to have final electrical inspection and then the final inspection. He was giving Jimmy a little bit of a hard time. He said, well, kind of looks like they're starting to move in already. He said, come on, give the preacher a break. He already turned his keys in. They kicked him out of Martinsburg. He wasn't lying either. We had to. Greatness is not necessarily the value of the job or the project. Some of you value something based on the price tag. Everybody doing okay? There are some things in life you can't put a price tag on. There are people in this room right now that wished you still had a mama alive to say Happy Mother's Day to. There are ladies in this room that have babies that are in heaven that God took them before they were birthed. You wished you could hear those words, Happy Mother's Day. Someday you will, don't worry. As I said last Sunday, my daughter-in-law and son, last Sunday during the Sunday school hour, my son took her to the emergency room and she lost her third baby. I'll be honest with you. I wished my daughter-in-law a Happy Mother's Day this morning. Told her how much my wife and I loved her. But I know it's not a happy day for her. My heart breaks for her. I could point out a half a dozen ladies that I know for sure in this room that are in the same situation. Can I tell you something? It's not the some things you can't put a price tag on. So it's not the value of it. Greatness is going on when most people have stopped. Do you know what the difference between average and great is? When an average person stops, a great person keeps on going. Everybody doing okay? Greatness is going on when everybody else says, oh, you can't do that. I wish you knew how many people told us we couldn't build this building. We're preaching in it. I wish you knew how many people in the county told us we couldn't do that, but we're here. I wish you knew how many people were against us, but can I tell you something? If God before you, who can be against you? I don't listen to the negative. I don't listen to the critics. We just keep on obeying God. God takes care of the rest. My preacher, Brother Hiles, used to say it this way, a big shot's a little shot that keeps on shooting. A big shot's a little shot that just keeps on pulling the trigger, amen? They go, preacher, are you a big shot? Nope, just a simple, common, ordinary nut that fell off the tree. I'm a Buckeye, amen? A worthless nut. Oh, I've got some big league friends. I got a big league God. But I'm not a big shot. But I've learned I don't let anything stop me. We're just going to keep on going. I might have to go over it. I might have to go through it. I might have to dig under it. We might have to go around it, but we're not going to stop. We're going to keep on going. Saul had accomplished great position, but he quit what qualified him for his position. Did you hear that? He had attained a great position, but his serving and his humility is what qualified him for it. And he quit being humble. He quit serving. And therefore, he no longer was doing what got him to where he was. Do you know how you do great things and yet prevail? You keep doing what it took to get to where you are. You stay great by continuing what made you great. I talked to Russell Anderson years ago. I said, Doc, I said, after you made your first million, did you think you had arrived? He said, be honest with you, Craig. He said, I did. He said, but Brother Hiles taught me something. Now go make two. And keep doing, you say, well, how do you do that? Keep doing what you've been doing, just do more of it. Don't change what you're doing, just add to it. You see, this is true in business. You want to build your business? Keep doing what you're supposed to do, and it will keep building. Don't build one building and say, I'm done, look at me. There's more buildings to build. If you're in the shop industry, you do a rack of parts, great, but there's more parts to be made. Brother Mike, you're in with work with Hillis and Carnes. There's more bridges and buildings and foundations and sinkholes and everything else to take care of. One done, there's another one to be had. It doesn't stop. You don't reach greatness and touch it and say, I'm done, one and done. No, you have to stay great, you have to keep doing what got you there. May I say this? You keep your marriage strong and you keep your marriage great by doing what it took to get married. Did you hear that? Fellas, I love you. Hang on. It's Mother's Day. I'm going to preach at the men for a second. Amen? It's okay. Ladies' turns next. Fellas, some of you wined and dined and wooed her till you got her, put a ring on her finger, and then you just let her hang there. My wife and I will celebrate 30 years this June 24th. We still go out on dates every week. I still enjoy going home. Home's not a place, oh, I got to go home. Man, I can't wait to get home. Tell you why, because my wife's going to be there and put a big old fat sloppy kiss on my mouth. Amen? Play tonsil honky for a while. I'm ready. Oh, preacher. I love it when my college-age daughter, oh, Mom and Dad, yeah, you better be thankful for it. That's what got you here. You let her fall deep in love, and she won't think it's so awful bad, let me tell you. Can I tell you something? I'm glad I'm more in love with my wife now than I was 32 years ago when we had our first date. Say why? Because we just keep on dating. Figured it was good to get us started. It'll do good to carry us all the way home. Amen? Everybody doing okay? You want to keep your kids strong? Let them grow up, but keep doing what you've done. Did you know by the time your children reach teen years, they don't need a mommy and daddy to tell them everything, but they still need a mommy and daddy to tell them things? We have a generation in America that's afraid to tell their kids what to do. Kids tell parents what to do. You didn't grow up in my house, and you didn't grow up in my dad's house. I'm 52 years old next week. My daddy's 847 years. No, he turned 80 years old. I still do the best I can to obey my dad. Now, I don't have to, but I try to. That's called honoring. I know how hard it's been for him to pick up the phone the last 3 days and say, I need help. He's that proud, tough old generation. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The old tough buzzards. Can I tell you something? He's needed help. Been my honor to help my daddy, help my mama. It doesn't bother me. I've had to do some things I never thought I'd have to do with my mom. In certain situations. But can I tell you what? I'm honored. Be doing all right? Can I tell you something? I still love my dad. I still love my mom. I loved him when I was a kid, too. I'm glad when I was a kid I could look at my mom and my dad and say, I love you. But I'm glad at 52 years old, stood in the hallway after they carted my mom out, put my arm around and said, I love you, Dad. Whew. If you're too old to tell your parents you love them, you're too old. Let me tell you. Well, you have a good godly set of parents. Yeah, but you can love unsaved parents too. Maybe they need you to love them so they'll get saved. That's You know how you keep a church strong? Listen to this. By doing more of the same, not new stuff. Our church has been built based on the Word of God. We don't need to try new things. We just need to keep doing more of the old stuff. Lady pulled on the parking lot yesterday. Brother Barnes and I are getting ready to back out and go soul winning, and a lady pulled in. She said, "What kind of church is this?" Sometimes you're not sure whether to duck or pucker. I said, "Ma'am, I'm an old-fashioned Baptist. I believe in preaching, believe in the old-fashioned way. We don't have none of the newfangled stuff. Even have song books, and let's not follow the bouncy ball." She said, "Good, I'm going to come." Like I said, it's duck or pucker, but I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to bring people in under false pretense. I'm going to tell on you, Trent. I was at his house yesterday. He said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Does it hurt your hand when you hit that pulpit like that?" I said, "No, I don't even feel it." He said, "You've been doing that a long time then." I said, "I've been doing it a long time. I still believe in pounding the pulpit. I still believe in getting mad at sin. I still believe that you ought to do the same thing. Preach the same book. We don't need new Bibles. We need to re-preach the old one. We don't need new methods. We don't need a new message. We just need more of the old." So doing great things means you keep going when others quit. Number two, greatness is done for others. Greatness done for others is what prevails, not what you do for yourself. Let me say that again. Greatness done for others is what prevails, not greatness for what you do for yourself. Listen to this. When we focus on what we want for ourselves, it ceases to be great and becomes corrupt. Everybody doing okay? "Preacher, I want to make millions of dollars." Why? Not against it, but why? So that you can have all that you ever wanted and it's for you? Or would you like to be a Russell Anderson? Make tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars and give it away for God and see how many people can get saved. Jim Bossy sat right over here this last Sunday. Jehovah Jireh Ministries. Jim probably was close to a billionaire. Didn't get saved till he was later in life. Met up with Russell Anderson, and Russ taught him how to give. And Jim Bossy and Jehovah Jireh gave the first $45,000 to help us purchase this piece of property. Sat right back there this last week. Brother Bob, we walked through the building. We stood out here just about three steps down this hallway. And he looked at me and he said, tears running down that man's face. He said, "We've helped a lot of churches, but I think if this isn't first, it's right next to it." He said, "Look what God is doing here." I said, "Yes, sir. God did it. You got it right." He said, "It's not just the beauty of the building." He said, "Look at all the people. Look what God's doing." Took him out to lunch last Sunday, and he got up, and big old rich man put his arms around me at Outback Steakhouse. He said, "Preacher," he said, "you're right. You ain't good at raising any money." He said, "But you sure know how to get a hold of God to let him raise it for you." He said, "I just can't believe this." He said, "By the way, I'm picking up Dr. Anderson at the airport and bringing him to your church." He said, "Which hotel are you using?" He said, "I want to be back in 2 weeks." I didn't ask him. He just volunteered. You see, when we focus greatness for self, that's for pride. And the more pride you have, the more corrupt you become. We are not to be a conqueror in life. We're to make life great for others. Did you hear that? Napoleon Bonaparte conquered the world, but he died at the age of 32. Can I tell you why? Because all he wanted to do was conquer. He didn't want to do anything for anybody else. George Washington was great because of what he did for America, not what he tried to do for himself. Did you hear that? Napoleon conquered the world. George Washington is revered. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I know where I'm at. Jim Beam, Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, and all the booze companies are out to make a name for themselves, and they're hurting people. They're not helping anybody. They're not great. They may be wealthy, but they're not great. Wonder how many people have died and gone to hell because of those companies. Wonder how many families have broken up because daddy came home drunk and beat on mama or beat on the kids. Wonder how many people have cut their life short from drinking, either by accidents on the roads or just their plain stupidity or just dying because of cirrhosis of the liver, etc., etc. And they want to call themselves great companies? No, they're not. They may be wealthy countries, but you don't get great by destroying people. You get great by helping people. William Borden was the wealthy heir to the Borden Silver Mine Company in the late 1800s. He went to Yale University after graduating from high school, paid for by his wealthy family, and William Borden had gotten saved. William Borden had gone to Moody Church under the great D.L. Moody and the Ira Sankey afterwards. Listen to this. God had called him to preach while he was at Yale University. By the way, Yale University used to be a Bible college. His family said, no, we want you to take over the business. He said, no, I'm not going to take over the business. God's business is bigger than mine. They said, look, you need to take the business. If you don't, you'll be written off of most of the family's wealth. He said, I don't need the family's wealth. I want to obey God. He forfeited his family's fortune to go to the field of Egypt, to the Muslim world, to be a missionary. While he was there, he had been on the foreign field for about 6 months. His mother had gotten word that she was coming over, and by the time she started over, William Borden had contracted cerebral meningitis and died at the age of 25. She stepped off of a ship to find out that her son had died. Oh, by the way, you've seen a quote from William Borden. No regret, no retreat. That was written by William Borden. No regret, no retreat. You prevail in greatness not by trying to be great for yourself. You prevail in greatness by not being wealthy for yourself, but you give up yourself so others can profit from it. I can't tell you that I think the President of the United States is the most moral, decent person that's ever sat in the White House. But I can tell you this. His slogan, Make America Great Again, sure is wonderful. Say, well, he's just trying to make a name for himself. No, he's not taking his salary. He gives it all away. Everybody doing okay? We have the lowest unemployment rate since 1969. I was born in 1967. We have the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. Well, he's just about building a name for himself. Let me show you something. Let me share with you a truth. You find out what your enemy would do by how they attack you. When they criticize him for being narcissistic, that's because they're narcissistic. Oh, he's Hitler-like. Can I tell you who the Hitler-like people are? It's the liberals. Bernie Sanders is a socialist. And Joe Dodo Biden. Folks, Charlie Brown has a better chance than Joe Biden. what about some of these, this Cortez chick? The Green New Deal. Yeah, it's moldy and it hasn't worked in any other country. Why would it work here? Now, listen to me very carefully. The press will tell you what they would do if they were in the place of President Trump. Well, he cheated for the election. You say, why? Because they were the ones cheating for the election. Your enemy always reveals their thinking by how they attack you. Always. Because all you have to do is listen to the attack, and they'll tell you what they would do and what they are doing behind the scenes. So, you, number one, doing great things means you keep going when others stop. Number two, greatness is done that prevails is done when it's done for others, not for yourself. The more great things you do for yourself, the more you inflate your pride. Number three, and I'm done. Don't put your shoes on yet, though, ladies. Prevailing means conquering yourself while succeeding. Prevailing means you conquer yourself while succeeding. Doing great things is wonderful. But being inflated with pride and stepping on others to do it is not prevailing. If you have to step on people and pull people down to get to the top, you may get to the top, but you have not prevailed. We fight pride by giving away glory, not hoarding it for attention. Anybody doing okay? Well, President Trump's put his name on all those buildings he's built. You know, we have the Trump Towers. Have you ever heard of a legacy? But it doesn't say the Donald J. Trump Tower. It says Trump Towers for his family. Everybody doing okay? Have you ever heard of the Ford Motor Company? Yeah, it was started by Henry Ford. Does that mean he was building a name for himself? No. Do you know who the first investors were to the Ford Motor Company? The Chevrolet brothers. I'm sorry, the Dodge brothers. The Dodge brothers, after about 7 years, when Henry Ford paid them back, decided he had something going, took that money and started the Dodge Corporation. Two brothers. Then you had the Chevrolet company that came in by Mr. Chevrolet. You don't call them narcissistic for putting their name on the product. How about Firestone Tires? Harvey Firestone. Everybody doing okay? How about Edison Electric? Potomac Edison. We are so judgmental based on what the press tells us. Prevailing is giving for the needs of others, not for fame and attention or the building of your own ego. Henry Ford died in the... It was either the late 50s or early 60s. I can't remember which. When Henry Ford died, he was the wealthiest man in the world. He was worth tens of billions of dollars based on the 1950s standards. Do you know that almost all of Henry Ford's wealth did not go to his family? Something called the Ford Foundation that is still enacted today. Ford Foundation is worldwide that takes and helps poor people, helps with education, helps with the building of buildings in poor areas. And he left, he said, I'll leave enough money for my family to be comfortable, but they'll have to build their own wealth. This wealth will destroy them. And he left it to where they couldn't touch it. Say, why is that? Because he understood how to prevail and be great. Prevailing means not getting too big for your britches. To put it down to where we live. Did you know that no one is indispensable? One, if I died today, guess what? Sun's coming up tomorrow. I've watched great leaders pass away in my lifetime. I remember when Ronald Reagan died. A great leader. Other great leaders. I remember the day that my preacher, Dr. Jack Hiles, passed away. February 6, 2001. Guess what? February 7th, the sun came up, and it's been coming up every day since. I'm going to make a statement. Be careful. Ecclesiastes 1:16 says, the wise man dies like the fool. The world did not stop, listen to this, the day that Jesus Christ even died. And if the world didn't stop when he died, it doesn't have a chance of stopping when you and I die. Say, well, that's sacrilegious. It's true. Saul allowed his position and power and prosperity to control him. He was addicted to success. He was addicted to power. He was addicted to the position, and to the point where he wanted his son to have that position, no matter the cost. Say, preacher, are you for success at any cost? No. I'm for success at the cost of doing right to get there. I'd rather build a church right and not be the biggest church in the area than to have a big church in the area and we're not pleasing to God. Every person has to succeed or fail for themselves. You cannot perpetuate your success on anybody, especially your own kids. I know your kid is going to be the next NBA star. You couldn't shoot a basket with a rifle. But your kid's going to make it. Trust me, I've seen him play. He won't make it. Oh, you're just being critical. No, I've been around professional athletes. They don't qualify. Let me give you an illustration. Sam Walton from the Walmart Corporation was a simple country boy from Arkansas. He became a billionaire starting a couple department-type stores. They became a national chain, started franchising, and Sam Walmart, he would travel the country, this billionaire, in a pair of jean bib overalls, walk through the door to check out his stores. He'd find people and he'd talk to the workers. And if they treated him right, sometimes he promoted them. Sometimes if they treated him wrong, he'd go find the manager and show him who he was and say, fire that one, fire that one, fire that one. They don't need to work in our stores. They're not friendly enough. Wish Sam Walton were back today. He would visit stores unannounced and people didn't even know who he was. He'd stand at the door and greet people in his bib overalls. Sam is dead. He has 5 children who are billionaires. He passed his wealth, but not his success. Look how most Walmarts aren't a tithe of what they used to be in friendliness and service. It's now about making money, not about serving people. Just heard in the last couple weeks that Walmart is doing away with in the next couple years, they're going to get rid of all of their sales associates that work the registers and everything will be computer checkout. That's not what Sam Walton had in mind. I've got to quit. Let me say this. Mark 8:36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Saul found out losing his soul was not worth the power, not worth the prosperity, not worth the position. King David, you shall do great things and yet prevail. As you start succeeding in life, don't let the success go to your head. How about you stay that simple, humble person and give everybody else the credit? How about you just stay simple. 2 weeks, Dr. Anderson will be here. Multi-millionaire. He'll be coming from Honolulu, Hawaii from his condo that he has there for the winter. He'll have a $100,000 ring on that hand, a $100,000 ring on that hand, a $50,000 watch on that wrist. And he'll wear a coat that's louder than Randy's. Last time he came, he had a green one on. It looked like a shamrock walking through the airport. But you heard him say, anybody over the age of 80 that can make cornbread the right way, we'll talk about getting married. Y'all remember that? Miss O.C. was ready to go home and make cornbread. love it. Cornbread and beans. Just simple man. From a coal mine to a gold mine, but hadn't lost a coal mine in him. Can I tell you something? What's your eternity going to be like? My neighbor, years ago, I was out working in my yard and found out I was a preacher. He said, well, you don't make a whole lot of money, do you? I said, no, but my retirement benefits are out of this world. And he said, oh, really? Do you have a good retirement plan? I said, I got the best. Well, what is it? I just looked up. They went, oh. Yeah. Brother Wiley, we were talking this morning. I preached your mama's funeral just a couple years ago. But I also remember baptizing her. Sherry, I won your brother to the Lord. He's in heaven. I'd go all over this room. Man, I got folks in heaven. Moral of the story, don't let me, when you do the Lord, you might die and go to heaven. No. can I tell you something? I would rather put off success here to have success in heaven any day. Say, how do you get success in heaven? Forget yourself and give God the credit for all. Grace Baptist Church is not about this preacher. Grace Baptist Church is about the greatness of these people. Mr. Jimmy, you've heard me say it 100 times. I got the greatest people in all the world. And I do. This church isn't great because of me. It's great because we have a great commission and we're doing it. And God's blessing it. And we're seeing what more God can do so we can reach more people, so we can help more people, so fewer people have to die and go to hell. That means going to talking to a tough old redneck who's kicked out more preachers than he cares to talk about. But 7 weeks ago, one knocked on his door and he was willing to listen to the gospel and got saved. Tough old public school retired teacher. Stubborn? Good night. I never met a man as stubborn as Fred. 30 degrees and raining outside, and I'm standing on his porch talking to him, and he's standing in his bare feet. And for 20 minutes, I'm standing there talking to him, thinking, just let me in. It's cold out here. He wasn't letting no Baptist preacher in his door. Nearly died 3 times on us, hours from death once. I begged him, said, Fred, if you died right now, you're going to hell. I know, but I'm just not ready yet. But I remember the day I sat in your living room. My wife and your wife sat at the dining room table praying. I said, Fred, we need to get this cared for. And I watched him bow his head and trust Christ as a Savior. And you talk about a changed man. Now, there's still a lot of changing to do, but you talk about a changed man. Say, what is that? God. I'll take that over position, prosperity, success, whatever you want to call it. I'd rather keep people out of hell than anything in my life. I mean that. I'd rather help God's children get a little closer to him and live a little better while they're here. My wife and I have given our entire life to that. And I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Nothing. I've met famous people. I've talked to Tommy Lasorda, manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers at the time. One of the most vile human beings I've ever met in my whole life is Tommy Lasorda. He said, Pastor, if baseball and the Catholic Church won't get me to heaven, I guess I'm going to die and go to hell. I said, yes, you are. Cussed me out and on he went. I met Nolan Ryan. Talked to Nolan Ryan at a Charleston River Dogs game in Charleston, South Carolina. Found out he got saved as a 10-year-old boy down in Texas. I've met some famous people. I sat as close as that baptismal pool is to Sylvester Stallone in Hollywood, California. He's as dumb off the screen as he is on the screen. I'm not kidding. He's as punch drunk in real life as he is on Rocky. Drugged up. A dope head. Can I tell you something? They're popular people. They have position, but what's their eternity going to be like? Let me ask you a question. What's your eternity going to be? How about we quit worrying about our success and see if we can get help other people to succeed? How about we quit worrying about how much we have and let's help each and every person we can to get the gospel of Jesus Christ? You want to do great things and still prevail? That's how you do it. Watched a lot of people get great and watch them corrupt. Watched a lot of people succeed and watch them corrupt. Get that first taste of success and then they start doing that which they should not do because that's what successful people do. No. Successful people that prevail are the ones that keep doing what got them successful. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I should have quit a few minutes ago. Would you be honest with God for a moment? How many would say, preacher, if I died today, I know 100% sure. I am sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hand down. I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't call your name. I wouldn't come to you. But you'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure. But I'd like to know that someday. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? All right. Somebody else? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon was a truth I needed today. Something inside there is what God touched my heart about. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. As we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. When the piano begins to play, if you raised your hand and said, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. If you're a lady, I'll have a lady meet you and take the Bible and show you just in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. If you're a man, I'll have a man take the Bible and show you. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can take care of that today. As soon as the piano begins, you just come forward. We'll get you ready for baptism. If you have a need that the Lord spoke to your heart about, how about you come to an old-fashioned altar and kneel here and let the Holy Spirit of God work on you and change it in your life?